Thanks for joining us again this week on the Mercy Talk podcast. I am your host, Melanie Carter, and I am the Director of Outreach here at Mercy Ministries. For those of you who may be new to this show or may even be new to Mercy in general, we are so excited that you've joined us. And Mercy has been in existence since 1983, providing hope and freedom to girls ages 13 to 28 who are dealing with a number of life-controlling issues such as addiction, abuse, self-harm, unplanned pregnancies, eating disorders, depression, and more. But we operate 4 residential homes here in the U.S., and we have 3 homes abroad where young women can come stay free of charge to just get to counseling and just to be able to kind of hit reset on their life. In addition to our residential program, we also now have various outreach initiatives happening to bring these keys to freedom that we use in our Mercy homes out to both men and women who just want help overcoming life's hurts and have a desire for freedom in their life. So to find out more about all of that, you can check out our website at mercyministries.com. And I am really excited to introduce today's special guest on the show, Bob Hamp. Bob was actually on our show last week, so hope that you are able to listen into that. Bob has been here and travels actually to all of our U.S. homes, teaching our residents and our staff, and he has been here in Nashville this week, so we are really excited that he has agreed to come on. Bob, welcome to the show again today.
Well, thank you very much.
And Bob has a lot of experience. He has decades of counseling and really specializes in helping people find freedom and healing from the pain in their life. And so he's authored several books. He now travels and speaks just from a wealth of experience. And we have personally been able to experience and glean from much of his own wisdom and knowledge and experience from all of his years. And we are just really, really thankful for the role that he has played here in our Mercy homes, and really excited to now be able to pass that on to people outside of our homes through these podcasts. So we just kind of want to go back, and we again really encourage you to go back and listen to last week's show, because we're going to kind of build off of some of the things that Bob spoke about last week. And Bob, I just want to kind of let you rehash a little bit of the last bit that we were going to build off of this week, and then would love for you just to kind of go from there.
Yeah, be happy to do that. You know, I talked last time about the 3 steps or 3 stages of freedom, and I'm generally not a step or stage kind of person because I think everyone's journey is a little bit different. But, you know, there's a point where Jesus said, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And a lot of times we misunderstand that word repentance. Repentance actually means that we need to think in a whole different way. And so the first step we talked about last time really is about getting free. The way I described it last time is getting free from bad definitions. We have all kinds of ways that we think about freedom that may not be biblically true or accurate. And because of that, we may be pursuing some things that aren't actually even a biblical concept of freedom. Second step that we talked about was talked about getting free from ourselves. In other words, the idea that the new birth really means releasing the old man and becoming the new creation. When we become free from ourselves, then the third step, and the part that we really want to elaborate on today, is we talked about really beginning to get free from the obstacles in our soul, or what the Bible refers to as strongholds. And so a lot of times people start their freedom journey right here with really trying to start to deal with strongholds, because those are the things that we most recognize as the obstacles to our lives. But without those first 2 steps, a lot of times what happens is we're either pursuing freedom with the wrong idea in mind. In other words, instead of becoming who we're created to be, we're just trying to control behavior. The second thing is you can be completely unsaved and try to untangle these knots, try to get out of our strongholds. But the whole point is to allow the new birth to be fulfilled in all the parts of our heart and our soul. In other words, the sanctification process, the freedom process, is really about the fulfillment of step 2. Mm-hmm. And so I want to take some time this week to talk about the end of our time last week, where we talked about freedom from obstacles. And by freedom from obstacles, I'm really referring to the section in 2 Corinthians 10, where Paul says to the Corinthians church, even though we walk in the flesh, our war is not according to the flesh, but our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. In other words, Paul is telling the Corinthian church that the battle that we're fighting to pull down strongholds is not a mental battle, it's a spiritual battle. he goes on to describe this. He says, but what we're pulling down, just having said we're destroying or pulling down strongholds, he says, what we're pulling down, and he describes it in two different ways, are speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. See, when Jesus says the truth can set you free, one of the things we need to grasp about that is when we see things the way that God sees things, that's the kind of truth that will set us free. And so what the enemy understands is if we have a misperception of God, and if we have faulty thought processes, those two things together will always keep our soul tied in knots. Mm-hmm. And so when Paul tells the Corinthian church, the first thing he's tearing down is speculations. Here's really what he's referring to. A speculation is when we use a human thought process, reason, deduction, those kind of things, based on evidence to decide what's true and what's real. And so anytime we speculate, we're actually using carnal or human thought processes, and what's going to happen is we'll always miss out on the bigger spiritual reality. Hmm. So speculation is when I become my own source of truth. Well, the next thing Paul says is, besides speculation, he says, and we're tearing down every lofty thing raised up against our knowledge of God. Here's the thing. If we could know who he is and see how he sees, all of the obstacles that we face would melt in the face of that. Mm. And so what the enemy does is he tries to deceive us about who God is, what's true about his nature, what's true about his character, what's true about his conduct and his thoughts toward us and his intentions toward us. To the degree the enemy can deceive us about those things, then we ourselves, by acts of our will lock God out of our own process. The devil doesn't have to do that. All he has to do is provoke us in our deception to believe lies about what's true about God. So he lifts up these lofty things, these high and mighty ideas, these thought processes that somehow end up in a higher position than the place that we'll allow God to be. And so what ends up happening is we lock ourselves into the cycle that builds a stronghold inside of our soul. Hmm. So Melanie, I'm going to take just a minute to really talk about what a stronghold looks like. What are the four components that make up a stronghold? And then doing that, we'll take a look for just a couple minutes about what it takes to pull down those strongholds and how it is that Paul is advising that we do this. He says our weapons are divinely powerful. Well, we need to catch that, and we'll see that right at the end of this talk.
Great.
So a stronghold is built of these four things, and if you picture this not as a linear progression, but rather as a cycle that feeds itself, you can enter this cycle at any point, but the four components of a stronghold have to do with this. Some event in our life is part one that leads to part two, which is a lie that we believe, which leads to part three, which is a way that we protect or defend ourselves or comfort ourselves, which leads to part four, which is the ways that people around us respond to us, which ironically, part four often leads right back to part mm-hmm. one, which is the events that take place in our life.
Right.
So let's take, for instance, the stronghold of rejection. So let's say that one person rejects us, and that's the event in our life. We have a father, a friend, a teacher, somebody who rejects us, and that event in our life leads us to believe lies. Now, what happens is we believe lies when we let any voice besides God speak into our hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. So whether it be my voice based on speculation, looking at evidence and facts, or whether it be the voice of the enemy, some voice besides the voice of God begins to tell me what's true about me and what's true about God based on that experience. And if the experience is rejection, then the lies that I believe start to validate things like this. God doesn't accept me. I am not worthy of being accepted. Mm-hmm. I'm ugly, I'm bad, my mother dresses me funny. You pick it, whatever
sure.
it is.
Yeah.
We believe these lies about ourselves. Now, this is important to know. It is not that the event is a lie. A lot of times we try to minimize or this thing called denial where we say the event was not a big deal. That's not what I'm referring to. That's not the kind of lie I'm referring to. In the worst possible circumstances, it's true that something bad happened, but it's the lie that the enemy whispers into our ear because of those circumstances. Right. You're dirty, you're bad, God doesn't love you, God wasn't there. All those different lies are the kinds we're talking about. As long as something besides God is our source of truth, those lies find a way to take root in our heart. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what happens. when we believe lies like that, we begin to feel pain and we begin to feel like we're in danger. Our soul feels threatened. And so we do a couple different things. We look for a way to comfort ourselves, or we look for a way to protect ourselves, or both. And the ways that we protect and comfort ourselves are generally the things that people look at and say, that's the problem you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Drugs, alcohol, anger, violence, self-rejection, self-harm, you name the symptom. And the symptoms that we see most often in people's lives are actually this step three, or the way that we protect or comfort ourselves. Keep in mind, that doesn't mean that that's the problem. The problem is the whole cycle.
Right.
But the most visible part is that we do of it is that we do something to protect ourselves and comfort ourselves. And so let's say that I was rejected. I believe the lie that all people reject me. And the way I protect and comfort myself is I isolate myself from other people. Now, if I isolate myself from other people, my relationships with people are going to be shaped by my isolation. Mm-hmm. So step four is the way that people respond to me is when I'm isolating myself, even when I talk to people, I'll have a way to get people to push me away. And now step four leads right back to step one, and the rejection happens to me again. And after years and years of going around that cycle, my speculations, in other words, my thoughts based on evidence, and this lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God says things like this: God's not safe, God's not there, he's not taking care of you, and I'm not loved, and I'm not cared for. And the next thing is I need to protect myself. As I protect myself, I relate to people through that protection. And just like a groove in an old mm-hmm. record on your favorite song, that cycle of the stronghold repeats itself.
Yeah.
Well, here's the key to tearing that thing down. Remember, Paul said that the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful. In other words, it's not strategy. It's not information. It's not even getting the right information we need. The two key sides to this are when we believe a lie and when we become our own comforter and our own protector. What those things do to us is it's not that we need to have a better piece of information instead of the lie we believe. The problem there is that I am my source of truth.
Yeah.
See, as long as I am my source of truth, there will always be an element of deception there. So rather than switch that lie out for a better piece of right information, I need to change from letting me be the one to speak to me to letting God be the one to speak to me. Well, the same thing's true at the next stage. If the way that I comfort and protect myself is harmful to me, if I isolate, if I push other people away, if I preemptively reject people, the point isn't that I need a better way to cope and a better way to protect myself. The point is I need to stop being the one to do that, and I need to let God be my protector and my comforter. See, the Holy Spirit comes to lead us into all truth, and he calls himself the comforter. Mm-hmm. And so the point is not that we are doing those things poorly. In other words, we're doing truth poorly and that we're doing protection poorly. The point is that we're doing them at all.
Right.
God wants to be our source of truth. God wants to be our source of protection. God wants to be our source of comfort. And so the way that we tear these strongholds down is we allow him to intervene in those two areas. So God, I'm believing this lie. What would you say to me? And then we let him speak. Mm-hmm. God, I have chosen to protect myself and comfort myself in these ways because of this lie. I repent from doing that. I choose to no longer protect myself in that way, but I need you, Father. I need you to be my protector and my comforter. And so, the stronghold is built of those four components. The ability to tear those down, again, isn't dependent on my cleverness or my right strategy. The ability to tear those down really is a change of dependence from depending on self to depending on God.
That's awesome. I think it might even be helpful. I just think that these ideas and these the thoughts that you've even shared today are so very helpful in theory. We have a lot of people who are going to be listening to these podcasts who maybe they're in ministry or they're pastors. They're just people who work with people who are hurting. And they listen to that and they say, that is on point. That sounds right. What in the world does that look like in somebody's life? And so, for example, you use the example of someone who's struggling with rejection. And if someone is walking through that cycle that you just described. You may have stories of people that you've worked with yourself who've walked through that very cycle, and then you've seen them break down those strong, or that you've seen those strongholds be broken down.
Right.
And what does that, what does that look like? What is that, you know, I guess in keeping with that example, what have you seen that look like?
So here's the thing, is someone's going to walk up to you and talk to you about something in that cycle. And when someone's asking for help, they will bring you into their cycle at any one of those stages. Someone may walk up to you and say, oh, this terrible thing happened to me when I was a kid, or I was at the mall last week and we were robbed. Or that, so they'll describe to you the event.
Mm-hmm.
Someone might walk up to you and say, oh, all my life, this same thing happens to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now what they're describing is the way that people respond to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or what they might say is, I just struggle with alcohol, or I've always done this thing where I cut myself, or, and now they're describing to you the way that they comfort themselves.
Right.
And, or they may come up to you and say, I'm just the worst person you'll ever meet, or I'm a terrible human. Now they're describing to you their lie.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that can actually be an invitation to join them where they are, but to take them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So someone walks up to you and says, this terrible thing happened to me 3 weeks ago. I was in a car wreck. And they start to describe it to you, and you can begin to ask some questions. And if they're willing and they're actually asking for help, then what you can do is say, well, let's ask the Lord if there's any lies that you believed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit down and you just teach them just a bit about how the Lord speaks to people and ask that question with them. Sometimes just that one question, is there a lie that I believed? And give them a chance to hear the Lord speak to them about that. It's so powerful and so profound when the Lord speaks that kind of truth, that what happens is just that one turn from the lie to the truth can break the whole cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say that they come to you and they say instead, I've got this habit that I can't stop. And they're actually talking about step three in the cycle. They're talking about the way they protect or the way they defend themselves. Now, if they're asking for your help, you just sit down with them and say, here's what you're telling me. I'm hearing that you've found a way to protect yourself. Would you be interested or willing to ask the Lord how he wants to do that for you? In other words, they're actually inviting you into that cycle with almost any way that they would describe that to you. You just have to listen for, is that an event that happened that they're telling you about?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a lie they've believed? Is that a way they're protecting or comforting? Or is that a way that they've seen people respond to them the same over and over again? And that invitation is your place to sit down and help them really hear what the Lord would say to them about the thing that's most prevalent to them about it.
That's good. That's awesome. And I love that you keep going back to this idea that you are literally helping to facilitate a process that happens between them and the Lord. And I know that you talked a lot more about this in our last show, but you know how we cannot even be the source of our own healing and freedom.
Right.
That comes from God. But that also then means that we can't be the source of someone else's healing and freedom.
Exactly.
So I can't make this happen for you, but I know the one who can. So I'm going to lead you to him and just encourage those questions. I think that's the greatest thing that you just said, was that you are just saying, why don't you ask the Lord this? And why don't you listen?
I always tell people that I'm just a marriage counselor between the bride and the bridegroom.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's perfect. And I think it's really, really important that we remember as we help other people that that is the role that we play in this. We're not their savior. We're not their healer. We're not their comforter. That is all. We're leading and helping to direct them to the one who is that for them. And so I'm so thankful that you brought that back into this discussion. And gosh, I mean, our time just passes so quickly.
So fast.
Man, but this has just been awesome. Bob, I feel like we could do a whole year's worth of podcasts with you in here, but we are just so thankful to at least have a couple of shows with you. And we just are very, very grateful for your time here at Mercy this week, but also that you would take the time out of your time here to do these podcasts with us.
Oh, this has been great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me do this.
Well, again, we just want to encourage all of you listeners to check out the show that we did with Bob last week, and also to check out Bob's website for helpful blogs about finding healing and freedom from pain and more information about his books. You can just go to bobhamp.com and find all kinds of different resources, and I could not encourage you enough. I'm actually right in the middle of one of Bob's books right now, and I feel like I just need to read it over and over and over and over. There's just
feel free
so
to do that.
Much. Yeah. Oh, sure, absolutely. There's there's just so much, just a wealth of knowledge that Bob brings. And so we are very grateful for him. I also just want to remind all of our listeners one more time that registration is officially open for Mercy's 2-day Freedom Experience event happening here in Nashville on October 2nd and 3rd. And we are going to walk people in a day and a half. We are going to walk you through the keys to freedom that we use in our Mercy homes. And so we really hope that you will join us for that. And you just need to go to mercymultiplied.com for all of that information and to purchase tickets. We want to invite our listeners back next week to hear once again from Jen Otero, Mercy's Transitional Care Manager, who is going to talk about becoming a genuine lover of people and what that looks like. So it's going to be really great. So please make sure you listen in. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next week.